way, Russ, you look an awful lot like Eric Ten Hag right now.
Just right now?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just like, I'm looking at you.
Is it the,
like,
is it
I think it is. It's this and the, you know, you're in like an Eric Ten Hag kind of stance.
I'm Adam, and this is the Long Snapper Podcast. Welcome along. I've got some familiar faces with me. Mark Salen, how you doing, Mark?
I'm good, thanks, mate. You?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Richard Newnham's here. Hi, Rich, how you doing?
All right, that's comfortably the most excited intro you've done this season.
It's kind of...
Like he's getting a bit big time, because do you notice he named himself first before the podcast? That's... going to his head a little bit.
What's going to my head? Being the host of a podcast with like tens of listeners.
An amount of listeners.
The fame is getting to him. People are going to turn on Adam soon.
We have three figures. Just saying that. Just saying that.
Humble brag.
Russ Milson is also here.
Hi.
You may have heard him already.
Eric Ten Hag look like. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. I may or may not have broke my finger playing netball today. So
I'm so sorry. What?
let's start there.
In fact, I vote in all in favour of just talking about that for an hour or so.
No, so
really anything else?
Tell us about your boo boo in the girls' sport.
there's a thing where I work called
the
CEO's Cup, and every month they have different sporting events. So we had a team in today, and today's event was netball. And I went to catch the ball. It took a deflection, and it managed to jam me right on the end. You know, as you're going up to catch it, and it gets you right on the end. And there was a certain amount of noise from the finger.
Did your false fingernail break off?
I don't. No, I bite them till they hurt. So that's not.
What finger are you going to use to scoop the sand out of your vagina now?
Well, I'll just use that one.
If you're not watching the live YouTube stream, you could probably have a guess as to what Russ just showed us.
But it ironically is that finger as well.
So has it all kind of like swollen up?
Yeah. Oh. It's all really tight and sore. And
at least Mrs. Swollen. Wilson's happy.
I imagine Mrs. Milsom's week or month is unaffected by any of this.
She's completely nonplussed by the whole event.
Does she even know?
Yeah, she definitely doesn't care.
I imagine you had an equal amount of empathy, sympathy, whatever words you want to use.
Yeah, I mean, I would offer similar amounts back in return. The boot was on the other foot, so you know.
I'd imagine you'd be more annoyed by the sympathy than you would by just completely being ignored.
I don't know. I quite enjoy being ignored.
Exactly. That's my point.
Nice.
All right. Where the hell are we? We're doing this podcast. We're here basically get together, have a chat. If you're not familiar with us, you've been missing out for quite a long time. So this is us. We normally start the show with a quiz, and due to my lack of admin and setting an agenda and really discussing this in advance, two of us have prepared one. So what do we do? What do we do?
I'll tell you what we do, Adam. You put the Richard Osman House of Games music in right now.
Okay. There you go, Russ. Just for you. Now can you explain it?
Yeah. So most people now, when I first started this, House of Games was still a little bit, on the small side. People, not a lot of people had seen it. So I'm hoping now more people will understand. But I have got for you 13 hastily written answer smashes. So an answer smash is something where you put two things together to create one long word or a phrase or something. But you have to use names, both names of both things. So, for instance, let me make one up on the fly, one I've used before. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback and Dion Dublin's BBC home makeover show.
Patrick Mahomes under the hammer. Yes.
There we go. That's how it works. That is what I'm expecting from your full answer. If you don't provide me with a full answer, I'm not going to take it. Understood.
Quite right. As and Richard Osman is strict with this, as he should be.
Absolutely. So I expect you've got to accept your first answer. And I'm no horse. You'll be pleased to know there are no horse noises in the answers. Oh, Mark's muted himself and just clapped. Anyway, this will be good for the quiz.
Right. Doesn't really matter whether the horse noises are audible or not, does it?
If you're ready, then I'll begin. Obviously, the buzzers are your own names as I hear them. And we'll start off with a very easy one. This Minnesota franchise whose sex is on fire. Mark.
Adam.
It's Mark.
Minnesota Vikings of Leon.
Very good. Thank you very much. Good job. Right.
I like the way that the one of the three of us with the music podcast didn't buzz.
Sorry, a music podcast?
Sorry. It's Kings of Leon are far too mainstream. I apologise.
I'm surprised you've heard of them. They came out after the millennium.
Yeah. They're just on the cusp. Just on the cusp.
Okay. Question number two. 2000s lesbian singers and a Rams rookie receiver sensation.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Tatutu Atwell?
Yes.
Oh, I had Scissor Sisters in my head and nothing was fitting.
Yeah, well, you're not going to hard to smash anything with the Scissor Sisters, mate. Unless there's a random defensive back somewhere. Okay, question number three. Mark is flying. Chargers slinger, an American singer composer of the 60s. Chargers slinger.
Adam.
Adam, go on.
Justin Herbert Bacharach.
Correct. Oh. Justin yes. Herbert oh. Bacharach.
That I'm is really correct. Pleased with that.
Good. Right, question number four. I mean, we're going to fly through these pretty quickly, so it's a short quiz, but. Question before is Miami Speedster, an American 80s cop show.
Adam. Tyreek Hill Street Blues.
Very good. Two for Adam, two for Mark, none for Rich.
Shock.
Fuck off.
It must be the beanie or the fact that he's drinking water. Here we go. Question number five. Raymond James based quarterback and an 80s Costner movie.
Adam.
Go on, Adam.
Baker Mayfield of Dreams.
Correct.
Nice.
Good. Okay, question number six. Bengal superstar and 2000s electronic pop duo.
Oh, you see this back into Rich's wheels.
Yeah, if only my brain was Mark. Working.
Jamar Chase and Status.
Correct. Very well done. Very well done. 3-3-0 again. Who is not shocked? Right. This Rich might get this one. I was very proud of this one when I came up. West Coast receiver and the instrument famed by George Formby.
Debo Samuel Kalele.
Oh! It's good, but it's not right.
Oh.
You're frozen out. But you're so very close to it.
Damn it! Of
you know what it is now, don't you?
So, Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Brandon, are you ukulele?
Yes, please, Mark Salen.
Oh, Rich, I never thought I'd say this, but Rich deserved a point there. Not enough for you to... I feel you should give him one, but...
No,
just...
it's on a plate. Here we go. Question number eight. Jaguars receiver and an American tourist attraction of weird and wonderful things.
Adam.
Oh, I've got this wrong, but go on, Adam.
Calvin Ridley's Believe It or Not?
It is, but I've just realised it's Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yes. So I didn't realise.
I've written it and then I've gone, oh yeah, shit, it's Ripley's. So yeah, anyway, you've got it right. It's close enough. Okay. 4-4-0 with Where are we? I did 13, didn't I? With five to play. Okay. Atlanta receiver and revolving capital attraction.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Drake London Eye.
Well done.
Rich, I'm just thinking admin wise in future, you know, when I say what time we're getting together, why don't you just log on 15 minutes later
after the quiz? That's the bigger I hurt too. Okay, here we go. Rich, you might have half a chance of this one. Another Falcon, this time smashed with the band that sang Naive.
Not a chance I'm getting that.
No.
They're a 90s, 2000s kind of indie band.
Naive?
Yeah. You're so naive.
Nope.
Oh, I know the band.
Yeah. And it's a Falcon. He's a kicker.
Oh, Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Young Way Kooks.
Yeah, very good. These just make me, they make me smile if nothing else. Right, it's 6-4-0 with three to play. ready for another one. This Tampa kicker and the original Miss Paul Beetle.
Can you say that again?
The Tampa Bay kicker and the original Mrs. Paul Beetle.
What the hell's the Tampa Bay kicker? That's... Oh, Adam.
Go on, Adam.
Oh, I'm not sure. Chase McLaughlin de McCartney?
Correct.
Oh, good.
Very good. Right.
I was thinking Ryan Suckup, and I couldn't work
out.
It's 11. It's 11 questions gone. It's Mark on 6, Adam on 5, Rich... well, you can do the maths. Right. Okay. This one, I'm only going to take your first answer. So if you buzz in and you get it wrong, obviously it opens it up.
Patriots. Been the case all along.
Yes, but I'm being very stringent on this bit. Patriots wideout and Matt Damon franchise film where you have to make a choice.
Adam.
Go on, Adam.
Kendrick Bourne Ultimatum.
Correct. That time, bit 12, it's 6 each with one to play.
Now I care, Rich, about getting this one.
What I'd love now is okay, right. Number 13 and final one. Please don't get it, Rich, because I haven't prepared anything else.
I think you know you're safe on that one.
Yeah, veteran wide receiver, currently plying his trade in purple. On a British staple meal.
Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Odell Beckham and chips.
I can't accept
it.
No,
Adam.
I can't, Adam.
Odell Beckham egg and chips.
It's correct, Adam. Play yourself some music.
Get the
Very
fucking...
well done. You got to get the smash right.
I was trying to work out how to link the junior into something.
I was trying to work out if Sterling Shepherd was playing in purple.
Sterling Shepherd's spy.
Oh,
Johnny Cott.
Excellent, Russ. Excellent. Love that.
Always love those.
They were quickly knocked together answer smashes. There's probably, if I start going into the realms of defensive players. One day I'll do that because their names are so fucking weird. There's more weirdly named defensive players than there is offensive players, isn't there? You'd think they've got some crazy names.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of crazy names,
defensive players are idiots.
One of your Denver receivers has got an incredible name. I can't remember.
Little Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah.
Is it that? Something like that.
Maybe it's not Denver. Maybe I'm going mad. It's a little something. Anyway, shall we? What's next? I didn't write it. It did not write.
Why don't we review some games in single sentences?
That's a good idea. We call these one sentence reviews. Hopefully, we've all written some I will start with Green Bay 29, Detroit 22.
Is this Love's coming of age? Jared Goff turned into 2019 version.
Washington 10, Dallas 45.
The Cowboys scored 25 points in the fourth quarter, including an NFL record fifth pick six for Darren Bland to absolutely boat race the hapless Commanders.
These games seem so long ago, don't they? Anyway, San Francisco 31, Seattle 13. Other than the brief rally from Seattle in the third quarter, this was a pretty one-sided and a very convincing win for the back-on-track 49ers. Miami 34, New York Jets 13.
Look, if you're losing to a much better team and you get a turnover at the end of the second quarter, which gives you an opportunity for a Hail Mary, then you go for it, obviously.
Absolutely. New Orleans, I want to revisit this. New Orleans 15, Atlanta 24.
Outside of the fans of these two teams, I'm not sure anybody cares, but it's really good to see Bijan getting into the end zone.
Pittsburgh 16, Cincinnati 10.
Matt Canada out as offensive coordinator. The Steelers rack up a season-high 421 yards of offense and still only squeeze past the Baltimore Bengals.
Jacksonville 24, Houston 21. Doink! Bad luck, you Texans! That literally will mean something to about one person. Tampa Bay 20, Indianapolis 27.
Could this be the two most chaotic quarterbacks in the league going up against each other? They're certainly up there.
New England 7, New York Giants 10.
This is the worst game of the week.
You haven't watched Monday Night Football, then?
It was close.
I enjoyed Monday Night Football. Carolina 10. Of course I did. Carolina 10. Is it Denver? No. Christ. Carolina 10, Tennessee 17.
The Titans just about managed to beat the worst team in the NFL, thanks largely to still having Derrick Henry on their roster.
LA Rams 37, Arizona 14. Despite Murray having more passing yards than Stafford, you can't beat greatness that easily. Sorry, Craig. Cleveland 12, Denver 29.
The Browns made this more of a game than the score suggests, but this might be the game that makes the rest of the AFC start to take Denver seriously.
Kansas City 31, Las Vegas 17. Maybe a little scare for the Chiefs with the Raiders' early lead. That is the case more often than not. Kansas City found a way. Buffalo 34, Philadelphia 37.
Absolute shootout on Sunday evening. Buffalo somehow managed to let this one slip. Bet Mark can't wait for the bye.
Baltimore 20, LA Chargers 10.
The Ravens won as expected, but forget about that. I'm still enjoying the Keenan Allen lateral to Eckler for a first down. Butchered that one.
It's all butchered, mate. Chicago 12, Minnesota 10.
Oh, Josh Dobbs. How it was fun while it lasted. Four interceptions and the Vikings come crashing down to earth.
Oh, poor Josh Dobbs. Poor Josh Dobbs.
Fucking move was rubbish.
I mean, they were all rubbish. I mean, imagine, the thing was, the Vikings nearly won. Imagine the Bears if they'd lost that. Like, Fields two fumbles on two possessions in a row in the fourth quarter. And all they really had to do was kneel down in that situation, and they just let them back in.
Are we finished with the preview? Because I wanted to talk about this a little bit and the fickle nature of like the coaches going away saying, oh, well, we're going to review the quarterback situation. We've got Nick Mullins and we've got the rookie lad. I can't remember what his name is. Oh, we're going to review it after the bye and see where we are. They've literally had 2 weeks of thinking Josh Dobbs is the fucking messiah. And now he has one bad game and they're like, yeah, fuck him now. Couldn't care less.
That would be ludicrous, wouldn't it?
It's like, fucking madness.
It's not like they don't know what they've already got with Nick Mullins. We've seen plenty of him in the league.
And is that the same Nick Mullins that is a skateboarder? Is it the same bloke? Does he just like throw the quarterback for
lead rugby commentator on ITV? Isn't
he's
he?
Wears a lot of hats, that guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I mean, I said it countless times, it feels, but the comparison between Dobbs and Ryan Fitzpatrick And for these exact reasons, he's going to win you some incredible games. But on other occasions, he's going to let you down. And my instincts were pretty bang on. Let's look at that, though. That Chicago pass rush were absolutely all over him constantly.
Yeah,
it was. I'm not quite sure there were many quarterbacks that would have dealt with that well. I'm not saying the guy was blameless, there actually could have been more picks, but one or two of those, he's got guys in his face.
And also, two of those picks weren't necessarily as far. I mean, they weren't great throws, but they weren't bad throws. It was bad receiver play. One of the throws was abhorrent, but two of them were, you know, marginal.
Was it the one where Addison turned, reached up for the ball, and it just clanged off his helmet? And
yeah,
just
that's
straight
right.
In the air. It's like, what can you
fucking
do about that?
Like, and you pin that on the quarterbacks, it goes against as a fucking interception.
Yeah,
it doesn't say wanged off the fucking receiver's helmet.
I think it's. I mean, I was talking about this on WhatsApp with someone today, a Bears fan, and just pointing out that, yeah, a couple of those throws weren't Dobbs' fault, but there actually could have been a couple more. And there was a dropped pick six. Equally saying that, you know, when your O-line can't protect you like that, I think this actually, like, sweat, what a pickup for Chicago. We said this before, they're looking like, if they can be managed well into next year and the picks they've got, they're going to be looking great potentially. I mean,
mate, the irony is, like, obviously we all know how bad the Panthers are. We'll probably come on to them in a minute, but the Panthers are tanking hard. And they still aren't going to get whatever pick they managed to get.
I'm not sure what the point of...
like, it's fucking stupid. Yeah.
What's the point of tanking if you don't get that pick anyway?
They're desperate for that 33rd pick in the draft.
At the moment, like, as it stands after week 12, the Bears are picking at 1-4.
They could easily be 1-2 by the end of the season. They're going to be close.
Well, yeah, probably, yeah, potentially. I mean, the Patriots are fucking... I can see the Cardinals maybe picking up a win or two once Kyler starts to get back on his feet, but the Patriots are stinking.
Yeah.
Like, and without some...
Why is Mac Jones still playing?
Well, I feel a bit sorry for him, I'll be honest.
I'll be honest, you know, I don't.
I hate, you know, fuck the Patriots and all that, but I feel sorry for Mac Jones because he's quite literally got no one to throw to. The only real bright spark on the offense is Stevenson. They drafted, is it Sanchez, the cornerback who looks, I can't remember what his name is, it Sanchez? I can't remember. Not the quarterback, the cornerback. Right, they've drafted players in defensive areas and given him absolutely no chance. Right, they've got nothing on that roster that is going to break down any team. And it's time. If Robert Kraft wasn't the NFL's version of Joe Biden, both properly fucking.
I don't think Joe Biden's hitting as many hookers as Robert Kraft is.
No,
he's the mix of Joe Biden and Deshaun Watson, isn't he?
if Deshaun Watson was Joe Biden's age.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're just like, they're just doddering along, not really knowing what's going on. And for all the stuff that Belichick has done over the past however many years, the Patriots surely have to at some point go, sorry, Bill, thanks very much, but We need some fresh ideas. We need to go in some sort of other direction.
They're just waiting for Mike Vrabel to become available.
Well, that might not be that long.
Later.
Although
I'm with you on, like, how badly that roster has been built. The amount of money that they've thrown at oft injured tight end potential receiving weapons who are never on the field, and, you know, third string wide receivers anywhere else that they're expecting to play as wide receiver ones. It's just that Mac Jones is so incredibly unlikable that I have no sympathy for him.
Who on their roster is likable? Or in that organization?
No one
else. Their fans? Any of them?
No, I like the fact that every year when the Bills win an ESPN competition to about the best fans in the NFL, and they get a chance to put up a billboard somewhere, and they've never once picked to put it outside Orchard Park. They always put it outside Gillette.
Why wouldn't you? Of course you would do that.
I like a lot. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Oh, I mean, it's there or MetLife, really, isn't it?
It does feel like that situation is very much the, you know, when, I guess, similar to when you've got an aging quarterback and everyone knows he's done, but the organization seems to feel like, oh, it's his choice as to when he wants to walk away. And it feels like that with Belichick at the moment, and they just need to get shot of him.
But he's been running the roster down almost, not intentionally, but like for such a long time. Last year he was so negligent he didn't even hire an entire coaching staff. He's tried to fix it, but somehow thought he could fix it with Bumchin, and it just, like, I don't know. There's,
do you know, hindsight's a great thing, but it turns out that if you're a GM and head coach of a franchise for 20 plus years, if you've got the greatest quarterback of all time who doesn't care that he's getting a pittance, it's actually quite easy. Just bring in anybody else.
And I'm finished with this. It's all about, you know, you can't rule out it's Belichick. I'm done with all that now. That whole thing was Brady.
Yeah.
The longer it goes on, his reputation is just, it's getting diminished by the week, like his legacy. And it's really fun to watch.
The thing is, he seems to have got into this thing of like, oh, he wants to do it at the Patriots without Brady, but that's clearly not happening. The only way he rescues that now is to go somewhere else and see if he can, you know.
God, can you imagine? Where would he go? Back to the Browns?
So, somewhere in Florida, surely. That's where everyone goes to retire.
That just basically does the same thing that Brady did.
Yeah, head to Tampa.
Goes to the Buccaneers. Yeah, the Glazers are having.
Someone would be a David Moyes following in though as well. But even Fergie knew when to go, didn't he?
Yeah, like Ferguson left after he'd won the league. Whoever's coming in to replace him is basically working from nothing. They're not working from success now. I think actually it's you've got a very, very decent owner there. I think it's quite an attractive job.
I mean, decent owner, it depends who you ask. Some Florida ladies of the night might say different.
No, they've had a lot of money from him.
Allegedly.
They've done very, very well.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But definitely. I don't think we're a podcast where we need to say allegedly, just to clear that up.
You think people might be taking us seriously?
I mean, maybe Robert Kraft's people listen just in case, but I think we're probably
fucking
right.
Cheese slices.
I mean, Jeff Reinbold hasn't come for us, so Robert Kraft isn't going to come for us.
Oh, I bet Reinbold's a fan.
Of all the things that have happened over the last week, having Jeff Reinbold back on my television was a joy.
Yes.
He is like, do you know what? Let's talk about this, because I think we have to every so often, but him being back on Sky, like where you have somebody in a room where they're comfortably the best at what they do, but 100 times over, it's when Jeff Reinbold's in a room with that lot. And he is, I don't know, I genuinely wonder if he sees it.
Have you ever seen those videos where they've got like Messi versus like 99 Asian 8-year-olds when they're out doing the pre-season tour? And he's just like, and he's so much better than every one of them in a game of football, despite the fact they've got like 8 goalkeepers, 20 defenders and everything like that. That's what it's like watching Reinbold on Sky. He's just like, he's Messi and the rest of them are the Asian children.
When you started talking about Reinbold and you said those videos, I was wondering where you were going for a second there.
We've seen them too.
But
it's the fact that he's knowledgeable and charismatic, and everyone else on that channel is either one of those things.
You've got
at
one
best.
Of those things at best. Yeah, exactly. I think Thanksgiving each year brings it home because we kind of poodle through the season watching Red Zone or our own teams on Game Pass, and you get the odd game where you watch the Sky coverage, but you don't really pay much attention to it. And then you get Thanksgiving and that triple header and 7 hours of Neil Reynolds and Jason Bell. I mean, if he just shouts, I can't really take in what he says. Phoebe's perfectly knowledgeable. And
I don't mind her.
I can't. It's just not fun.
They're all so bland. Yeah. It's like eating turkey with nothing else and no gravy.
which is ironically what they were doing. But even worse than the Thanksgiving coverage was the coverage from the following day, which was live from that bar in Manchester.
Oh mate, Hannah, somebody was saying they pulled a guy out of the crowd because he was wearing wearing Jets dungarees or something. I don't know what he was wearing, but fucking Hannah Wilkes was interviewing him. And he said something and she made a bit of a little quip or something. And he was like, didn't hear that. And what would have been gold is if he just,
it wasn't
perfectly and just went, what?
It wasn't even, I can't remember what she said, but it was, and to be fair to her, she knew it wasn't worth repeating.
No, it absolutely wasn't.
But yeah, these things happen on live television, I guess. I mean, we screw up on our live podcast, don't we? I mean, I could edit it out so it sounded professional, but I don't.
The problem is it's not a niche sport over here anymore. Like, millions of people are watching it and yet they still serve up that shit show week in, week out.
This is the thing. I think it's the NFL UK marketing thing as well. It's not just this sport, but it's the same with cricket and the 16.4. It's like we want to attract new fans to our game. We want to attract new fans to our game. That's all we're interested in. Don't really care if we piss off the existing fans. They're just collateral damage. And there comes a point where
you bring up cricket, and yet Sky, when they took on Test cricket, immeasurably improved how that was done because they brought a brand new, much more modern, much more like in-depth, insightful way of having Test cricket on TV. And the NFL needs that. They almost need to wipe the slate completely clean and go, if we were starting from scratch today and we were trying to do something like we did with Test cricket, what would we do? And go with that. It just seems like the momentum there is just continuing to drag them into the mire.
I think you used to have obviously back with Kevin Cadle at those days. Like, it was probably a bit rough around the edges. It maybe wasn't as polished, but it was just fun. And you don't, regardless of what level it's pitched at, like, I think they've lost sight. They've just, for several years now, let's be honest, they've lost sight of, like, making it entertaining and making you sort of like them. I don't feel Sky actually dumb it down too much. Like, some of the analysis is quite technical and it is aimed, like, it doesn't patronize the fans, not the way the some of the marketing around it does and some of the other shows and the other coverage. But it seems a bit, cliques maybe the wrong word, but it's just not enjoyable anymore. Mm.
And what's annoying is that there are presenters in this country that are knowledgeable and fun and could easily
absolutely get Nat Coombs in that chair.
Get Nat Coombs in the chair. Yeah,
it would transform it instantly.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Nat Coombs, I'm Mike Carlson. You're sorted.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Iron Mike has... He's probably... I was going to say not to everyone's type. That's really unfair. But like, he's quite niche at times. You might want to mix it up a little bit. I'm just saying. But yeah, but Nat Coombs in that chair with a certain dose of Iron Mike. Absolutely. I would love that. And that would get... unfortunately, it's not up to us. Sky will... if we don't make it, Sky will and have.
Correct.
Bastards.
Anyway, that game on Friday that they were covering so brilliantly from that Manchester Hooters bar or whatever it was, wasn't called Hooters, was it? Shooters. That was funny, wasn't it? Right. In fact, this is linked to this. So the coverage, their reaction of the Hail Mary pick six, got me fired up, and I got a bit angry about this because it seemed to be the whole world. Like everyone's watched that situation. The Jets got the ball on midfield with 2 seconds to go. Every team should try a Hail Mary in that situation because you don't have time to do. It's your only chance of getting points. The only way it's a risk is literally if what happened.
Yeah,
or you get a strip sack or something.
We did it the week before, and it was an interception, but they got down as far as the 20 against us, and you were suddenly thinking, hold on, someone's going to tackle him, right? Someone's got to tackle him, right? And then eventually they did. And just those wonderful Jets with their wonderful Craig's plan didn't manage to, unfortunately. I was gutted for them, as you can imagine.
It does make me laugh. It does make me laugh that they've got all of these super fast, all of these super fast wide receivers. It didn't look like a single one of them made any effort to get back. So you've got all the linemen that are just waiting there for someone to catch the ball
going, oh God.
And then all of a sudden someone's running back at them and they're going, oh shit, we're going to have to move here. And you've got the wide receivers that are in the end zone that potentially could have caught him, like with a bit of inclination and, you know, a bit of will for the team.
I've literally seen that happen to other teams who've been run down.
And they've just stood in the end zone gone, this is awkward. Go on, lads. Go on, lads. Oh, shit.
Good luck with that.
This is kind of linked to what made me so cross about every single smug person criticising the play call. Get angry at the receiver's lack of effort. Get angry literally get angry about the fact that nobody could be asked to tackle him. Don't get angry about the play call. It's basically unprecedented that this happens. Like, Mark, as you're saying, the Bills managed to get close recently.
Very nearly.
It's a bit like that Miami play against New England a few years ago. Like, it never happens. And just because it happens once, what? It does... So, yeah, New England got criticised for putting Gronk in on defence. But, do you know, sometimes...
I'll never forget him trying to turn like sour milk.
Okay.
Yeah, if Tim Boyle feels bad about his attempt to tackle a guy on that one, he just has to go back and look at Gronk, try and do it.
Yeah.
But sometimes shit just happens. Crazy shit just happens. And like, there's no way that is the wrong play call or the wrong move from the Jets. And like, Salah's getting criticised for it. It's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Ryan Bold, as much as I've praised him. Ryan Bold, Reynolds, Jay Bell, Phoebe, they're all piling in to Salah and the Jets for making that choice just because it's lazy. It's the hindsight police coming in when all four of them are watching that when they call the play. And yeah, they've got to attempt a Hail Mary here because that's the play on half time. Anyone with any football knowledge who's ever seen it. I had an argument with someone on X about
Twitter.
Call
it Twitter.
Yeah, just about this and saying, yeah, but funny enough, I had the last laugh. He went and dug up some article saying that He dug up some article saying that you're more likely to throw an interception than a touchdown in that situation. So
you definitely won't score a touchdown if you don't throw the ball.
Yeah, but there was like yeah, but you're risking interceptions. Like, literally, that is not the risk. Interception doesn't hurt you in that situation. It's only the fact it was returned for a touchdown. And he didn't come back to me then.
It's surprising how quiet they go.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's in the Meadowlands as well, right? You're at the Jets' home stadium. If they don't go for it there, if they just kneel on the ball, can you imagine what the crowd's reaction would be?
Absolutely.
It'd be fuming.
Rightly.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine they were quite pissed off about what happened, but they shouldn't be mad. Sure. They shouldn't be mad at the call. And they should be absolutely mad at the pitiful lack of effort and to trying to bring him down.
It's always my favourite thing when someone throws up a Hail Mary and all of the wide receivers seem to have gathered in one spot in the end zone and the ball is landing a good 15 metres away somewhere else with a couple of defenders underneath it. It's like, you guys are the people who are paid to be able to track down a ball. How is not one of you anywhere near it?
I think sometimes it's quite hard to throw a ball that far. And sometimes they're not always as accurate as they might be.
Sure.
I bet if you did some analysis on all Hail Marys that have been thrown in over the last however many years, a much higher percentage of them have been intercepted than caught.
I think, yeah, but this is what that guy was trying to tell me. I mean, also, I think it's 9% of them are touched, basically caught by the offensive player, and maybe slightly more by the defensive player, but they're not going back. They're not going back for touchdowns. This is the thing.
No, most of the time the ball just hits the deck.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What 80% of those plays, the ball hits the deck, and everyone sort of goes, "Oh well."
Half time.
Or it's intercepted and they're tackled immediately, and it's half time. Right. Same.
Yeah. If any of the receivers then go, "Oh fuck," that chasing.
the only time that's a terrible call is if Boyle doesn't have the arm for the end zone and it falls like 15 meters short and one of the defenders realizes and gets it there. But if you're getting it in the end zone, that's 100% the right call.
Again,
every day of the week.
Only if they return it for a touchdown. It doesn't matter otherwise. And the nature of where everybody is on the field makes that so unlikely.
Mm.
Ian Rappaport said, "I have never seen that happen before."
Right,
he's probably seen a game or two. So
can we quickly touch on Jalen Phillips's injury? I don't think I've ever watched, like in slow motion, quite that vividly an Achilles tendon snap, where you could actually see, like, you could see it like go through his uniform. It was horrible.
You see it sort of shooting up the leg, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see it just that just separation.
And now there has been more Achilles snapped on that field than Zach Wilson has victories.
Oh, dear me.
But it's like, there's clearly a link to that surface because it's like, I think it's the fifth one that's gone this season now. It's two. That's clearly there's something wrong with that surface there.
Yeah.
Well, other than the Jets playing on it.
Well, that's equally as bad. But I mean, that it just looked horrible the way that you could always see the Achilles ripple out of him. It was, vile.
Injuries. That I don't need to see it again, but we all saw it.
Yeah, not nice.
All right. The Thanksgiving was a bit, obviously, that was the Black Friday game. And the Jets were going to recover from that, were they?
Which, by the way,
it's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
I mean, the game was very much a thing. I'm all for having a game on a Friday night at 8 p.m. UK time, by the way.
Perfect. Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
Just call it something else. Not that they'll ever do it again, but you know.
They're
definitely doing it again.
Well, but only if there's no because it was they could only put it on because there was no high school football, right? That's why that it was allowed to be.
Oh, is it just a one-off? Oh, that's a shame.
I believe it was something to do with that because they have it. There's a definite rule that it's Friday is high school, Saturday college, Sunday NFL. TV rights to do with it.
I assume that was like no high schools are playing on the Friday because it's Thanksgiving weekend and
I think that's why it was something to do with that. So they'll have Friday night games if there's no high school. So, otherwise, it won't happen again.
Black Friday one-off game going forward, maybe.
Just don't call it that. Fuck off with the Black Friday.
All right.
Definitely won't raise this later.
I'll feign surprise when you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving games, which seem a long time ago. Obviously, the main thing from the Dallas game were the 5 pick 6, and that record, which I've never heard Jim Nantz so excited.
Oh, he was definitely
hell of a record, mind, didn't it?
It is a hell of a record, to be fair. But three. Well, I was going to say 3 one-sided games. The Packers Lions, the score probably flattered the Lions in the end, but
big time.
But it always felt like the Lions were going to get over the line. It's fine. They'll come back. They'll get the win that they need here, and then they just didn't. It was
because they did it literally the Sunday before against the Bears, two scores down inside the 2-minute warning. Everyone's going, they'll do it again because,
But they feel like one of those teams these days where they have an explosive enough offense to just pull one out of the bag.
And right now they need to because their defense has given up everything. They're conceding a hell of a lot of points at the minute. And
Jared Goff is...
He was crap this game.
Jared Goffin. I mean, he was crap in that first half against the Bears. He threw two picks really early in the Bears game. And then I think we said the same on WhatsApp. He did exactly the same against the Packers. And they were like, he'll grow into the game. He'll be all right. And then he puts together two flawless drives, like 70-yard drives in, first, moving the chains every single time. And then the next time, just real random, poor, poor picks. They're not even good. They're not even, like we said earlier, when it shanks off someone's helmet. They're just poor, poor throws.
Thought the Packers were good, though. Jordan Love impressed me. Probably his most impressive game this season. So far.
I've seen a stat where through the first 12 games of their NFL career, like starting season or whatever.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Exactly the same number of passing touchdowns and passing yards, like to the yard, that Aaron Rodgers through 12 games.
Yeah.
Now that can't be right, but... But if it is, it's fucked, isn't it?
It's the sort of thing that someone could make up and post it in a picture on Twitter and no one would question.
Yeah, I'm happy to believe it.
Yeah, I agree. And also Brett Favre.
Is that impressive?
Brett Favre's got the same numbers, as does Bart Starr.
Yeah.
Name another Packers quarterback. Oh, you can't because they've only had 4 in their history or something. Oh, don't forget Matt Flynn, of course. But... Honestly,
you could call it a love story.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
No, you're not. I think the Lions, by the way, they've got some sort of, that Kirk Cousins couldn't win in primetime narrative for ages and ages. I'm getting that feel with them. It's quite easy for them to win a barnstorming game buried in the 6 PM window on Red Zone, but when the whole world's watching on Thanksgiving, it's a bit harder.
Do you think that makes a difference? Like when the players are out on the field, do you think they're thinking about the fact that they're the only game that's on at that point, rather than like?
I absolutely do.
I don't think I'd give a shit.
I mean,
and I'm not a professional sportsman, obviously. Or
breaking news.
But I like. By the when you're
what out are the, our it, credentials to do this?
Yeah, quite.
Opinions and microphones.
Hi, I'm Mark, and I'm an account manager from Wiltshire.
Russ attempted a field goal when he was concussed and can't remember once.
Rish is basically a gigolo from San Francisco.
Who clearly knows nothing based on quiz performances.
Yeah. it strikes me is that when you're out in the field in this stadium, all you care about is that game and what like trying to impress your fans in that stadium rather than worrying about, I think there's probably a few more people watching than normal on the TV.
I think it's bigger than that. Players do talk about it, and I do get the impression that there's almost this aura of like everyone's watching. Like I've seen you know, mic'd up stuff where players know that they're on the big primetime games and they are talking about it pre-game. So I do think there's an element of like the whole world is watching us rather than just it's our, you know, local markets or whatever.
I think it depends how big the team is. So like if it's the Cowboys, they're on primetime every other week and they're probably oblivious to it. I'm not joking. If it's the Lions who are, it's basically Thanksgiving every year and that's it. I don't know. I'm guessing they're not up, guys. Yeah, I think it's like they've been, especially for the fact that they've been doing well and they were 8-2 going into that game, I think. And so they will have had that narrative that any time an unfancied team has a really good record, they'll be that narrative of, oh well, they've only beaten shit teams, or they're not gonna have the guts to do it down the street, whatever the narrative is, and they will come out in that big game and think, right, we want to show the nation, the world, that we are that good, and that might be, that could be all it can take, and I think these things do, that will sweep through a locker room. Like, and it can work both ways. Like, it can, the opposite can happen. But like, as soon as someone, it's definitely contagious, like nerves. As soon as someone drops a pass or something, and like, suddenly it's shit. We don't want to fuck this up. You know, it's, and I very much had that feel about the Lions on Thursday.
I just think probably deep down they're not actually all that great.
Oh, you see, this is the reaction they're afraid of. this is exactly it.
I think that, you know, Goff's all right. They've got a few weapons that are genuinely good, but I don't think the defense is all that good. And considering the draft capital they've put into that defense, it's still pretty woeful at the moment. Where would they be if they were in the AFC team?
6-5, 5-6, because that's where every AFC team is right now.
I wish they were. I wish they were, mate.
This might be
even
a first.
You lot are only one game outside the playoff place in the AFC, aren't you?
Yeah, but we've
it's fucking mad.
Yeah,
Bills have shat the bed on a monumental scale. So you know,
let's not talk about that.
Actually,
because they ran a very good Eagles team close. They were up for a long time.
Let's be honest, Russ. We battered them.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. We fucking battered them.
You still lost.
Like, this is the fourth game in a row that the Eagles have been out-yarded on offense by over 100 yards. Someone is going to find those fuckers out soon, and I'm savage that it wasn't us.
I wanted to bring this up. Are the Eagles good, or are they just lucky? Because at the moment, there's a lot of just luckiness.
Are we gonna find out this weekend, Rich? I mean, I don't want to. I want to talk more about the Bills, obviously. Without moving on to the Niners, and I saw Mark's deflection onto the Eagles, liked it. Does their luck run out? But they are 10-1, right?
It's ridiculous how they can. It's impressive how they keep managing to find ways to win games. And this time, they didn't even have to find the way to win the game. The Bills handed them the game. And the referees handed them the game because they were very kind like that throughout the entire game.
It's nice when the referees do that, isn't it?
It's very kind of them.
Particularly to a team like the Eagles who really need that help.
Yeah, in Philadelphia as well. It was kind of them. And Ed Hockley, who's, you know, an Eagles fan and or whatever, not Ed Hockley, his son, who's now coached them five times and given the Eagles a total of like six penalties the entire time, and not coached, refereed them.
No, you meant no, don't
same
coach,
thing.
Basically the same thing. Basically the same thing. We won't go into the state of officiating in that game and across the NFL, but it was, like, needless to say, utterly horrendous. Some of the calls that they missed were a joke. The horse collar on Josh Allen that directly impacts the game was ludicrous.
The fact that they have ripped his shirt, that one?
Yeah, the one where he pulled it like on third down. And not only did they not give him the call, they called it intentional grounding, which meant that it was much harder play. We then missed the field goal, so scored no points from that drive. Fuck you, officials.
Josh Allen's jersey number was 7 instead of 17 after that.
the catch and fumble in overtime that would likely get called if it was in normal time or anywhere else and any other official, then yeah. But no, that wasn't given. Numerous stuff like that. It was all game. At one point at half time, we'd had 9 calls against us for something like 80 odd yards. And the Eagles, despite there being multiple infringements, had had 1 penalty for 5 yards. It's like they're not even trying to hide it anymore. It was bullshit. And even despite all of that, the Bills should have still won. They managed to find a way to not. And we continuously managed to find a way to not win these games. And it's why that Sean McDermott, after this season, shouldn't be our head coach anymore. He's done a fantastic job with the team. He's turned around what was a franchise that was clearly in big trouble. But I do think it's the age old thing of he's taking the team as far as he can. I just can't see us winning a Super Bowl under him. He hired an offensive coordinator that was never good enough, and it's quite clear what the offense has done since he's been removed from post. The offense is back to being the Bills' offense that it should have been all season. Next one to go has got to be him.
Well, at least you've got a couple of easy games coming up to bounce back from this one against the Chiefs and the Cowboys.
Yeah. At least against the I don't know, but it's.
I genuinely think you'll beat the Cowboys, and I will love it if you do.
A lot of that, we could.
You always used to beat the Cowboys in the '90s, didn't you? And those.
The big thing about that one is the fact that it's in Buffalo rather than in Dallas, because Dallas don't lose many games there. But we could beat them at home if our offense plays well. But there's always something with the Bills, and we've managed to, with this season now being a write-off, it isn't because we just happened to throw away a game to the Eagles. It's because we lost all those other ludicrous games that we shouldn't have lost in the weeks running up to this, like, you know, against the stupid game against the Broncos, against the Bengals, against the Patriots, against the Jaguars. There's so many games this season where we've had the ball where we've had the lead in a game and the other team has the ball and all we need to do is make one stop and we haven't managed to do it. And we've been our own worst enemy again.
I'm going to offer you a choice. Would you like to continue talking about the NFL for a bit more, or do you want another quiz?
Can I just offer you one further stat on this game, which I think you'll find amusing? That after that Chiefs playoff overtime game, literally the rules of overtime were changed because of what happened in that game where Josh Allen didn't get a chance to come onto the field. Since that game, we're 0-5 in overtime.
Yeah, but it's only in the playoffs that they change that rule, isn't it? So it doesn't really.
But we still can't find a way to get out of our own way. Make a stop.
Did it go field goal, field goal, field goal in overtime? I think it didn't.
No, the rule change was after.
No, in your game on Sunday. So.
We scored a field goal. They scored a touchdown. They won because of that.
Okay, maybe I've fallen asleep at that point. It was just so many points backwards and forwards. I lose track.
So if you score, so the rules are the same, that if you score a field goal on your first possession, the other team gets the chance to win the ball. So it has changed for regular season too in that regard. But if they then have its next score wins after that point, unless they score a field goal as well, then it continues.
Go again.
So just to bring some facts into this, the current overtime rules in the regular season have been the case for about 10 years and they haven't changed that. They may do, but they've just changed on the back of the Bills Chiefs thing in the playoffs. They changed it for the playoffs. So now if you score a touchdown on your first possession in the playoffs, the other team has a chance to match it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the regular season hasn't changed. It's been, I think, since like 2012 or something, where you can't win it with a field goal
to start with. I just wish we could find a way to. It always feels for Bills fans that this game, like the big game of the season, the one that everyone talks about afterwards, and that game was brilliant. It's always us losing it, and
at least you're not the Patriots.
I mean, that's true.
Anyway, back to my question. Do you want another quiz, or is there other things to this? This
sure,
is this I've is got unprecedented. Some, There's been I've lots got, of.
I've got some beer to drink.
We had some unprecedented stuff in the NFL, so why not do something unprecedented on this podcast? Basically, because I prepared the thing, it will be the data will be out of date, and so I want to use it. Here it is, little game, and I'll give you. Let's do 4 rounds. I'll start with Mark, and then I'll go to Rich, and then Russ, and then I'll snake back. And then I'll snake back, and then I'll snake back. You've got to just name players with passing touchdowns this year. But here's the twist: the most number of passing touchdowns that any quarterback or any position, I should add, has thrown is 24. You get the number of points to equate to the number of passing touchdowns that player you name has scored, and the lowest number of points after 4 rounds each wins. So you want to find players who've hardly thrown any passing touchdowns, but have thrown at least one, because if you miss, you score 25 points, so even more than the maximum score of 24. So it's like a kind of pointless but actual data-driven. Maybe explaining the rules will take longer than the little quiz itself.
So quarterbacks who've not thrown many touchdowns
but have crucially thrown at least one. There are, if you're wondering, 53 different people who have thrown passing touchdowns in the NFL this year. Mark, let's start with you and see how this goes.
Okay. Only because he's only just come back from injury, let's go for Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, yeah, 2 touchdowns, so that gets you 2 points. Richard,
annoyingly, that's exactly where I was going. I feel like he's probably got a fair few, but not loads. So let's go with Minshew.
Minshew has, I can't find it. Oh, he has 8. There you go, found Minshew. 8. So. You are into the lead, which is not where you want to be. Russ, have 2 goes.
I mean, they've been woefully shit. So let's say Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson gets you 6 points. Oh. That surprised me. I didn't think you'd have that many, but here we are.
Tyler Bagent.
Oh, that's nice. That is 3 for him. So you are on to 9, slightly ahead of Rich, who we now go back to.
Trying to think of... Oh, I'm doing horse noises. Yes. Getting some horse noises.
You'll get this one right then.
I want a couple of you to get 1s here. That's what I want.
I think I've got a 1, Adam.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that in a minute.
I've got one, and I've got a couple that I'm thinking might have scored very few touchdowns. How about Browning at Cincinnati?
That's 2. Oh. That's pretty good, though. Pretty good. Back to you, Mark. You get 2 in a row.
Does it have to be a quarterback?
Did I say it did? I don't think I said it did.
Cool. Then I'll go with Derrick Henry.
That gets you 1 point.
Oh.
Now, Russ mentioned that he's been shit, Zach Wilson, so I'm going to say the other one. I think he threw 1, Tim Boyle.
He did. He threw exactly 1. That
was my other one, but I couldn't remember whether he'd thrown 1.
There you go. That takes you up to 4 points. Rich, your penultimate go.
I think most hated tight end must have thrown a touchdown or 2. So let's go with Taysom Hill.
1 point.
Yes.
Very well done. Russ, you now get to your last 2 goes in a row, back to back.
How early in the season did Tannehill get injured? It was pretty early, wasn't it?
Are you asking for...
No.
How many touchdowns had he thrown before he got injured?
Just out of curiosity.
Let's go for, I think he came in when Pickett was injured for a half game, and say Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Mitchell Trubisky gets you 1 point. That is good. That is very good. Come on, another low answer. Let's make it difficult for Salen when we get back to him at the end. Despite fearing deep down what's likely to happen.
Mike White. Because he's points. At Miami, isn't he? He's at Miami.
That is 1 point. Very, very well played. Russ is on 11 points there. Rich, you are on 11, so you're not gonna come ahead of Russ. But let's see what you can do.
I had Anthony Richardson in my mind, and then I remembered that I think Keenan Allen has thrown one earlier on in the season.
Keenan Allen has.
Because I do love a wide receiver throwing touchdown.
That is very good. Takes you up to 12. If you can remember what the number of points Mark's on, good for you, but I'm not going to tell you. It's your last guess. Can you get yourself some music?
I will go with everyone's favourite Birds of a Feather character, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
That's well done. That's 1 point, and that takes you to...
Sounds like the kind of program that Nathan would watch.
Nathan. yeah, 5 points, Mark. Well done. There were some good one pointers there. Let's not dwell on too much. PJ Walker, you could have had.
I'd forgotten about him.
Tyler Huntley, but also another running back, Devin Singletary.
Yeah. Has that made up for ham, egg and chips? I don't think it has.
Odell Beckham and chips.
anyone want to know who the most with 24 is?
It'll be the same guy who's got the most interceptions.
Absolutely is. Yeah, Joshua, Joshua, Mark Allen, or whatever is that? Right, let's preview some games. One sentence previews. And we start Thursday Night Football this week is Seattle at Dallas.
Dallas have now won 13 straight games at home and they will comfortably make it 14 on Thursday Night Football.
You would think. Denver at Houston.
You would have expected these two teams to be at 6-5 at this point in the season, but a win here would do a lot to put either team solidly in the playoff picture.
LA Chargers at New England.
Abject Chargers should comfortably be a very poor New England. Bye bye, Belichick.
Detroit at New Orleans. Both teams looking to bounce back after embarrassing losses, but I'm backing the Lions to get it done on the road. Atlanta at New York Jets.
No one cares.
Arizona at Pittsburgh.
Another game where the Steelers will be massively outgained but still come away with a win.
Probably. Indianapolis at Tennessee.
Nate's Colts go to Adams Titans in a divisional matchup.
You said Bucks, didn't you?
It did. In a divisional matchup that nobody really cares about.
Including Nate and Adam.
Including the pair of you.
Miami at Washington.
Thanks to having a schedule they couldn't have arranged any better if they'd done it themselves, the Dolphins will continue to beat up on another shit team and move to 9-3.
Carolina at Tampa Bay.
This giant steaming bowl of who cares could still see the Bucks jump back to the top of the AFC South.
Cleveland at LA Rams. Another long trip west for Cleveland and probably, nay, hopefully, another long trip back again after a loss. San Francisco at Philadelphia.
A potential NFC Championship game preview, and eventually these Eagles will get found out and let the rest continue to hand it to them on a plate. Come on, you Niners!
Kansas City at Green Bay.
Green Bay had a good win in Detroit on Thanksgiving. Can't see anything else but a Kansas win this weekend.
And Cincinnati at Jacksonville.
Just stick it in cruise control, Trevor.
Yeah, they should be all right, shouldn't they? Anything else worthy of discussion that we haven't already? Pat's not here. So
Justin Tucker missed a field goal.
Did he?
I didn't know that was possible.
I nearly said I missed that, but he did.
He
didn't matter.
No.
Obviously, Frank Wright got the old Spanish art.
We should probably mention that. I mean, you lose to Tennessee. I mean, you pretty much deserve it at the minute, don't you?
No, Dr. Yeah. Tennessee saving that career.
But they are terrible. And then there's a press conference this afternoon that I've seen on Twitter with the owner, David Tepper, saying, "Oh, we are 100% back the process. We 100% back what we did to get the number one pick. You know, we don't regret picking Bryce Young. We don't regret any of it." I mean, that's a lie, right?
Lies.
That's because he's the one that pushed for it. Reich didn't want him in the first place, and now he's out the door.
Yeah.
There was something about Tepper has spent $30 million and $40 million on dead contracts for his last two head coaches. I mean, that's not the coaches that are the problem here. Like, it's such a badly run organization.
Yeah, it's... I would just have a quick word about the ludicrous game in Nashville, the tank fest that it was. we were, just to give you an idea of kind of how poor Carolina are, really, and just like at the moment, I'm watching Titans football just almost out of a sense of duty, but not really like most games you watch as an NFL fan, and it's tense, like it's thrilling. Constantly from start to finish, you're desperate to win every single week. It's not like that at the moment for obvious reasons. So I'm kind of just watching this game. We're 17-3 ahead at halftime, playing all right, like looking like doing what you needed to do, really, sort of playing within ourselves. And the second half, we didn't score a point. Carolina scored with their first possession in the second half, like they drove down the field and scored. Then it was just a bit of a punt fest. And at no point did I, literally from that Carolina drive, and it's, you know, you're sort of, 8 or 9 minutes left in the third quarter, 17-10. And I've just watched this. There's no way either team are going to score another point in this one.
I remember the Tom Sula years.
There was just to compare to Chicago, Minnesota, Monday night. And there's one point late on where the Vikings finally get that touchdown drive. And Troy Aikman says something along the lines of, yeah, but you let the other team stay in it. Eventually, they're going to put something together. That wasn't the case in this game. There was no way that Carolina were ever going to put something together. And it's just like they can kind of string a few plays together, but they can't, the complete inability to do anything once they get anywhere near the opposition's goal line. And their offensive line is actually... We just double covered him the whole game and they didn't know what to do.
Exactly, because the only person that Young has thrown the ball to for 11 weeks, I know what we'll do. We'll just double cover him and then see what they do. Oh, nothing.
That's exactly what happened. Nothing, no rocket science.
I do feel so sorry for Bryce Young, though, because he feels like one of those young quarterbacks who's come out, you know, out of a situation where he's in, you know, surrounded by winners at college into a team that is absolutely fucking moribund. And it's just like, what are you going to do? It could destroy his confidence so badly that he never, ever even gets a chance in the NFL.
Sometimes it does make you realize how much luck is involved. Like, right. So obviously, good quarterbacks are taken by shit teams. That's the nature of how it works. But such an obvious comparison to Stroud and the Texans, like they found a way to get a spark. They're they're looking really good. And so you instantly come to the conclusion that Stroud is better than Young, when going in, he's probably not.
That's the funny thing for me, is there's all this criticism of the Panthers for taking Young when they could have taken Stroud. And I'm like, yeah, if they'd taken Stroud, Young would be currently one of the biggest names in the NFL as a rookie.
This is the kind of conclusion that you could very easily come to.
Coaching staff is a competent one.
And that's something that should be celebrated. You know, Ryan's has done a hell of a job and is doing a hell of a job at the Texans.
Yeah, absolutely.
The offense that they've got going there. I mean, Pierce has been out. Singletary, they've got him working that other teams couldn't. The likes of Tank Dell is a revelation.
Dell looks brilliant.
Nico Collins, they've got, who's the other one? Noah Brown, who looks very good as well. And he's got, you know,
really fun and exciting to watch.
Yeah, and Dwight Schultz, what a pickup he was. Mm. Absolute comfort blanket. Just the perfect type of tight end as a young quarterback that you'd want when you've got young, exciting weapons and you know you've got someone like him that you can just throw to over the middle or, you know, wherever, that is just going to pull it in. It's brilliant. They're great to watch, as Mark said.
The weirdest thing about the Browns was I was expecting them to be extremely competent, but on the defensive side of the ball rather than the offensive side of the ball with Ryan's there. And actually, that offense looks amazing. The defense isn't quite up to scratch yet. And I suspect that's partly due to talent levels. But they're such a fun team to watch. I could see them getting to the playoffs and scaring a couple of people.
Yeah, potentially. That loss to Jacksonville will hurt them. Mm-hmm. That was a big game.
But the wild card situation in the AFC at the moment is there's what, 8 teams that are all within a couple of games?
Schedule's going to be a massive factor when you've got some teams with pretty poor schedules. And
Houston's doesn't look too bad, though.
No, exactly. That's the thing.
It shouldn't do. Yeah. I mean, they're a fourth seed from last year, so.
Yeah, there's. It feels weird in the AFC because I think we all came into the season feeling like it was stacked with incredible teams, but it does feel like there's going to be some mediocre
gets injuries.
It turns out the whole NFL's been much shitter than we all thought.
I think it's more injuries. You know, you think about the Jets lost Aaron Rodgers. You've got the Bills
were shitter.
All right. The Bills lost a bunch of players on defense. You've got Joe Burrow's gone for the rest of the year. You know, there's probably 4 or 5 teams that we thought would be in the playoffs that are now starting to fall away just because of injuries.
Yeah. When's Tua going to get injured? That hasn't happened yet. It's got to happen.
I mean, do you remember last season?
No, he doesn't.
Bit of news for you, Adam, and if you've not seen it, John Taylor for the Colts this week. Not that anybody really cares. Thumb surgery.
Oh, great. Muscle just rinse us again. It's just plug someone else in. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Can we move on to any other business? Russ, we'll start with you.
I mean, I don't want to talk too much about Premier League football. The narratives in the media around Premier League football are laughable. Mark showing a video of me looking like Eric Ten Hag, very, very good.
It's the turtleneck. It's absolutely exact design.
So big about
A little what upside say, down head sat on a turtleneck.
I'm gonna
talking while he's talking.
I'm gonna say. Well, I will, and I'm gonna come on to him in a minute. But Manchester City lose 3 games in a row in the Premier League when Rodri is unavailable due to suspension, and it's just Man City are such a better team without Rodri. Tottenham lose 3 games in a row, and with 11 now, the Bentancur's out for 10 weeks. With 11 first team players out injured, probably. Almost our entire starting 11 out injured, and then we lose 3 games in a row, and it's Spursy. Even after we absolutely battered Villa on Sunday, still managed to lose somehow. It's just laughable. And then I watched Super Sunday, the second game. And don't get me wrong, right? The young lads, he scored a very good goal. It's an overhead kick. It's very good. Goal of the season potentially. I don't mind saying that, right? I flick onto the social media on Monday morning, and I've got fucking talk shite going on that Garnacho's overhead kick is the best goal the Premier League has ever seen. Everybody literally circle wanking over Garnacho, and I'm like, this is fucking madness. Just get some perspective. And it was just, football is just funny. It's just funny.
I think we all know that the best Premier League goal that has ever been scored is Tony Yeboah.
I just said,
Anyone who says any different is wrong.
Yeah. I'm all right with that. I would even argue that Paul Scholes scored a volley at Villa Park off of a corner.
So
as you can imagine,
that's
been doing the rounds on Man United social media, because it's all been about now what's been our best ever goals. And it's like,
was that the one against Bradford?
Not the Bradford one that went in the bottom. The one against Villa was a fucking foot like a traction engine.
Volley from a corner. Incredible.
Bradford, it wasn't as well struck. The Villa one was just nuts. But suffice to say, he overhead shinned it into the net. Fair play.
That wasn't a shin. That's the one thing about Garnacho. That was like Rooney's was off his shin. Garnacho's
was nowhere
clean off his
foot. It was nowhere near as good as Bale's in the Champions League final. Absolutely not in the same stratosphere as Trevor Sinclair for QPR. That's best overhead kick ever. Anyway, that's enough.
Oh, my favourite overhead kick is still any of the ones by Peter Crouch, because just watching them, you don't understand how the physics can possibly happen that way.
It is like an AI generation of something that... It's basically the same as his goal celebration, him doing the overhead kick, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Rich, any other business?
I don't have a lot other than the fact that Mark... coming up with another looky likey for Russ has triggered my that's who Russ looks like, and it's Dr. Robotnik, if you lot remember him from the Sonic games.
Sonic the Hedgehog. That's Jim Carrey in the film.
It's mostly the very strong ginger tash with a lot less, you know, the stubble on the side's a little bit lighter.
Come on, it's the shape of him, surely. That's what we're all thinking, isn't it? That's what we're all thinking.
Not even Russ has got to that point
yet. I nearly gave Russ an accidental compliment by suggesting that the Ten Hag thing is because he is looking a bit more svelte. I'm gonna say it
was,
how it is.
It's all the facial hair for the Robotnik one for me. He's got a great,
isn't it?
There you go. lot more out the sides, I think. Got work to do, Russ.
Yeah, I don't know whether I can. Yeah, love it. Yeah, fine.
I don't have anything.
Can I add one in? Sorry. I went to Cardiff at the weekend, humble brag. And I was in a bar. I know it was a joke. But I found a bar, and there's also one in Manchester. And it was called Number 64 or something, and it sold hooch in cans, and it was basically a dimly lit bar full of retro gaming machines. So you just bought tokens, and it was Tekken and Time Crisis and Outrun and Mortal Kombat and Pac-Man, and like it was just the place was just full of retro game machines.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, they had. So there were tokens that you could play.
No, that was just the mirror.
And then there were game consoles locked away, but they had a Super Nintendo, they had a Mega Drive, they had a GameCube, they had an N64, just where you with those multi-cartridge game things that you could choose whatever. So I had a game of the original Sonic on the Mega Drive. But what a place.
Did you instantly break into doing a one sentence preview because the music played and you felt like you had
to something? Yeah, I didn't even think about it. But yeah, it was really good. Good play. Awesome. Good play. So if you're ever in Cardiff, I think it was called Number 64, and I'm pretty sure there's one in Manchester as well.
Nice.
Number six. Oh, yeah, I see what they did with the name N64. That makes sense.
Thanks for explaining it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get it the first time. Genuinely didn't get it the first time. what was I going to talk about? Yeah, I never got round to it last week because Nate started talking about Israel for 20 minutes. But
glad I got that far in the podcast.
Yeah, that was great.
yeah, I didn't. You couldn't follow that.
No,
Nope. Yeah, it's just a little. This is gonna. It's really, really anticlimactic, obviously. But just a little observation about running along a towpath, which I do from time to time. And it's just something that has been bubbling away in the back of my mind that I've just, while running weekend before last, I just articulated this. And I think I've applied a percentage of people that will say good morning to you by category. So other runners, pretty high. Like, you've maybe got 80-85%. I would say dog walkers, probably even higher, like 90% hello rate from dog walkers. But then you've got cyclists. That goes down quite substantially. I think you're going below 50% for cyclists. They're just pissed off that you're in their way. So that's maybe,
or trying not to fall in a canal.
Try not to, yeah, but they don't. They'll run you into the canal quite happily. 40-45% for cyclists. Boaters, like whether the boat's moving or not, that's pretty low as well. So maybe similar, 35-40%, I would say. Fishermen, 1%. Absolute miserable bunch of horrendous human beings, a lot of them. Why is that? What sort of, any of you guys fish ever? Genuine question.
I have fished, yeah, of course.
Briefly, but not in any kind of...
What?
Like, but I actually don't mind it. I actually quite enjoy fishing.
Except when some cunt runs past you and expects you to say hello.
Yeah, especially if it's Adam.
They go out of their... They all go out of their way to avoid any kind of eye contact, ideally. And they're pretty...
They're looking at their logs, mate.
They're not
going out of their way. They're sat down looking.
No, they are. They're going out of their way. They'll turn their head away from you actively.
I'd do it, to be fair.
I mean, that I think you've QED, let's say that. I'm not sure I've ever said QED on this podcast before, but that feels like the moment. Mark, finish this off, please.
Nothing. I don't have anything going on other than to say that I hate the concept of Black Friday. I like the whole thing.
What?
No, shocking.
Can I shock you?
You've heard this.
I love Black Friday.
Despite what I said earlier. yeah, I hate it. I hate the fact that it's like it's always deals that aren't really deals and people, like stupid people, fall for it anyway. I hate the fact that it goes on now for like 3 weeks beforehand. So why do we still call it Black Friday when it's effectively Black November? I don't like the fact that once it's over, you end up with Cyber Monday, and then I'm really excited for all the inevitable emails that eventually come out that say, oh, guess what? We've decided to extend our deals. Well, because they're not really deals. That's just the price. And it's a stupid concept. And I wish they'd bin it off. Thanks. It's some stupid American things coming over here and ruining our land.
Look at what this idiot did in America.
Exactly. Just designed to make people who don't have enough money in the first place spend money that they don't have to get them into more financial trouble, buying shit that they don't need. It's, yeah, winds me up.
There was a woman on... I don't watch GB News. This may shock you.
it kind of does, actually.
There was a woman on...
Aren't you a presenter on GB News?
only when he's not coaching Manchester United.
But there was a woman on there that they did a segment where she fundamentally refuses to partake in any Black Friday deals or offers because it has racial connotations.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. Don't like it. She doesn't like it. Because it has racial undertones.
I mean, GB News is just the Daily Mail on TV, isn't it? So any old bollocks that they can get away with at that point.
Any old bollocks.
Any old bollocks, Geezer. Oh, that's great.
Oh, now he's here. Finally turned up.
Fuck you now.
Let's just check the Jets are still shit.
But we've got a plan, lads. Don't you fucking worry about it.
Fucking Uncle Albert.
During the war.
I was like United fans talking about the 90s. During the 90s?
Well, that's something I can talk about.
That Paul Scholes volley. That honestly.
Dennis Irwin.
Probably a Dennis Irwin corner.
That assist. Oh, the assist for Cantona's assist for Irwin's goal. That's when football was good. Anyway, let's go.
Good idea. Good idea. Great fun as ever. That's it. Done.
Very well.
See you next week.